Good afternoon. I will call the Monday, February 23rd meeting of the Senate Committee on Commerce and Workforce Development to order. And good afternoon, committee members. What was going on while you saw us talking here, we're huddling, getting some additional information. We also are awaiting some fiscal information, but I do not know that it's going to be available at this hearing. So I think I will start by opening a work session on Senate Bill 462. And Jeremy, would you please just refresh our memory on what this bill does?
Senate Bill 462 creates an alternative base year for unemployment insurance benefits, which comprises the last four completed calendar quarters preceding the benefit year for purpose of determining eligibility for unemployment insurance benefits. Please excuse my voice, Madam Chair, and committee members.
I have the same cold.
Thank you, Jeremy, for that explanation, and I forgot your voice is not great, so we'll try not to tax it too much. So members, you'll recall that we heard this bill initially last week. We now have in front of us also a Dash 1 amendment, and what the Dash 1 amendment does is puts an effective date of July 1st of this year into the bill. If you look at your original bill, you will see that in Section 4, the bill didn't actually specify when it took effect because we didn't know when the Federal Economic Recovery and Reinvestment Act was going to pass and be signed into law. That did actually happen last week, so now we know that the law is in effect. So the intention of putting a specific date is to make it clear when the bill will take effect. However, we do not have a fiscal impact statement today that reflects the amendment, so we will be able to adopt the amendment into the bill, have some discussion, get any remaining questions answered by the department who is here today, and then we will be carrying this bill over to our hearing on Wednesday, at which point it would be my intention to move the bill out of committee. So I think at this point I will call Lori Warner and Tom Byerly forward, and I know that you have been hard at work on answering everybody's questions about this bill, about the effect that it might have on monies in the trust fund. So I think if you have a few opening comments, that would be great, and then we'll just have members ask you any remaining questions that they have.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Lori Warner, the director for the Employment Department. The amendment is as the chair described and is a easier way, I think, for people to understand when this would be implemented. So I think that's probably all that is important for us about that. And the fiscal impact you have, because it was based on that other language, the fiscal impact actually is for implementation that you have is January 1 as opposed to July 1. So that's the change. The other thing is we have had questions about the tax schedule, questions about this bill, and what impact that would have on what schedules we would be in, tax schedules we'd be in. Last time we were here, we talked briefly about the eight tax schedules and the fact that you move up and down those tax schedules based on the balance in the fund and the projections. We have projected forward where we think we'll be in September this year in terms of tax schedule based on the forecast that was released by Tom Podowski to the legislature on Friday. And at this point, we think we'll be moving from tax schedule 3 that we're in right now to tax schedule 5 or 6, depending on what happens between now and September. And that we would then expect that change to occur depending on the economy. The question was around what would happen if we put $90 million into the trust fund. And the effect of that really is that you have a wider margin so that it's much more likely for you to stay in Schedule 5 rather than go to 6 for 2010 and to be in 7 as opposed to 8 for 2011. So this bill in front of you, it has a fiscal impact of $8 million a year or $16 million a biennium. If you're just looking at the expenditures for this particular bill, you're talking about the $90 million covering roughly 8 to 10 years of those expenditures out of the trust fund. Depends a little bit on what the interest rates are, what we're earning in the fund, and also on how rapidly the benefits go up in terms of average wages in Oregon. So both sides of that. But that's roughly the effect on the trust fund. It's a little, it's like forecasting, and so we'll wait to see how the puts and takes go between now and then, and it has changed significantly from when we did the calculation last September, and I think I mentioned that to you when we calculated for Tax Schedule 3. It was really before the peak in unemployment and claims. So with that, Madam Chair, we'd be happy to answer any questions, further questions the committee might have.
And just to clarify, you used the term margin, and margin means what?
The margin, it means it's the difference between the projected trust fund balance and the minimum balance that you have to be in the specific tax schedule. So, you know, those tax schedules move back and forth, and a lot of the time we sit with $100 million or $150 million margin, so it's just before you would go to the next tax schedule. We're projecting in September, if we're in Tax Schedule 5, we'll only have about a $23 million margin between that and Tax Schedule 6. So you can fairly easily spill over into Tax Schedule 6 if you're sitting closer to that margin for the next tax schedule.
Madam Chair.
Yes, go ahead, Senator Telford.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question on, we have a policy whereby we want to have 18 months of unemployment projected benefits available. How does that compare to other states? I mean, do other states have the same 18-month, or obviously, you know, we talked about the table that was published in a state legislature's magazine recently, and we're much healthier than they are, so I'm wondering what their other policies
are. I'm going to ask Tom to address that question for you.
Madam Chairman of the committee, I'm Tom Byerly, the Administrator for the Unemployment Insurance Division for the Employment Department, and there are about 8 states that achieve that solvency level that's prescribed by the U.S. Department of Labor, and we're one of those states. Many states have chosen to not be quite as solvent, and in fact are not solvent at all. They've gone bankrupt in the last few months. I think we may be up to 7 or 8 states that are now borrowing to pay their unemployment benefits.
Thank you. I think Senator Prezansky and then Senator Mona Sanderson.
Two things. Just following up that, I actually heard on national news this morning, I guess the state of South Carolina is looking at the federal stimulus money and talking about not taking that portion because they're not solvent. Mm-hmm. And that this would basically cause them undue hardship as to being able to, take on the responsibilities and putting in the provisions that are required, such as paying for part-time employees that are unemployed. But they made it very clear that their fund is not as solvent as ours is, and it really was pretty striking because just hearing the governor from South Carolina take that position. The other thing is, just for clarification, where it does say that this fiscal impact statement was assuming a January 1 of 2010, what we are doing with the amendment, we'll take it back to July of this year, first of the fiscal year. So we're looking at an impact of an extra 6 months.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. If I might comment, I think Senator Prezansky's point about some of the other states is that Oregon already implemented, remember this was one-third of the funding if you implement alternative base period and two-thirds if you have the remainder, if you have 2 of 4 provisions. Oregon is in a unique spot in some ways because we already have 2 of the 4, we just don't have the base period. So for some states, they have to implement not only alternative base period, but they have to adopt 2 other provisions in order to access the $90 million, we already have two of those four provisions. So we're in a little bit of a different spot than many other states who may be finding it overwhelming to try to make that many changes.
Right, and thank you for that clarification, and I think that is reflected in the fiscal, too. So, yes, Senator Mondes Anderson, please.
Thank you. I just had a couple of businesses raise some concerns regarding the fact that the rate, we get the $90 million, and we and it affects the rates now, and or will help the rates not go up drastically. But it was something we had been talking about a little bit before. Then after the 9 years or 10 years, then we are committed to staying at another rate. Can you just talk about that? Because they're saying, well, then after 9 or 10 years, we actually are going to have to be paying more than what we would if we did hadn't taken the stimulus money.
Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Mondes Anderson, that is accurate, that once you, this is one-time money into the trust fund, so it has an initial effect of softening the, keeping the tax schedules down, and then you're paying out over that 9 to 10 year period that amount of money, and at the end of that time period, then the tax rates will not be softened by that because that will have been spent out. It's $8 million a year, $16 million. It will be higher than that, of course, when you're out 8 to 10 years. But the effect on the tax schedule changes is really, at that point, you can't say that'll make it go up or down, because it's on the margin where the change is. So this amount of money shifting back and forth between that would not probably be the largest driver in the tax schedule moving. The tax schedule moving back and forth is really driven by the underlying economy and the number of claims. This adds to the claims, but this is a smaller impact than the unemployment rates itself in terms of the underlying economy. I don't know if that's clear.
But yeah, that helps me very much.
It's you can always say that if you're close to the margin, like I was saying to you in September, we'll probably be sitting with about $23 million between us and tax schedule six. And if this was $16 million that you would be paying out for the biennium, then it would push you closer to six if you didn't have it. So it's on that margin where the change is, and that depends when you get close to the margin. If you're sitting at 100 or 150 million margin between you and the next tax schedule, then this is not as big a factor.
And I think, I mean, when I've been looking at this, and unfortunately I lost my beautiful chart that shows the fluctuations that we've had in these different rates, but I think it, you know, if 9 or 10 years out, we haven't dropped back down into a lower rate schedule, there will be, a crisis that I can't say anything could make the crisis we're facing now look small, but if that crisis were to last and continue or escalate for 8 or 9 or 10 years, I have a feeling none of us would still be serving here for other reasons than, yes. So, yes, Senator Telford.
Well, on that line, let's assume we weren't in those dire days of unemployment. The fact is we're going to add a quarter to people's benefits by the look back for the most current quarter. That's not what we're currently doing. Let's assume nothing changes. I mean, the employment's the same as it was. It's, 4.5% unemployment. What do you think the margin effect will be, and therefore the movement of schedules by just adopting that quarter?
Madam Chair, Senator Telford, so let me make sure that we're on the same page here. When you said that we're adding a quarter, so we're actually looking a quarter earlier at their wages. So we're not adding weeks to what people would be eligible.
Well, let me clarify. You're correct.
Okay.
We're still doing four quarters, but we're using the most recent four quarters.
Correct. So when we looked at those folks, there's 17,000 folks that we're going to look at that don't qualify, and we think some 6,000 will be eligible for benefits. Of those 6,000, 2,000 of them would qualify the next quarter anyway. So they're just getting their benefits a quarter early. So we're talking about 4,000 folks that wouldn't have qualified anyway, but will qualify now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, I think, you know, you're talking about the margin here, and so the magnitude of that is fairly small compared to the entire rest of the economy and the number of claims that we're processing. This is a very small slice.
Follow-up question?
Yes, please.
So given the fact that this is a nominal number of new people, why do we need 20 to 34? I think last meeting you had mentioned there were 34 new FTE needed to pay out all these benefits,
yeah,
or to work the benefits.
Madam Chair, Senator Telfer, we took a look at the fiscal impact and did a lot of looking at the numbers and processes, and as you're pointing out, we reduced the number of positions and FTE in the fiscal you have in front of you currently. And Tom, we do have a summary document, and I was going to have Tom go through that if you want to talk about the detail of those calculations specific to the numbers of what it would take. This picture may help the conversation.
If
yes,
I may, before
ahead.
We do that, to answer the question that I asked, given this 4,000 people, so you're saying that there would be no change in schedule?
Thanks. Madam Chair, Senator Telfer, if you're close to the margin, you know, the balance in the trust fund between you and the next tax schedule is on the low side, then this is $16 million that can contribute to you moving to the next tax schedule.
So
it's when you're close to the margin, when you're getting close to shifting tax schedules, that this will make a difference.
Point of clarification?
Sure.
So this would make a difference in that again, nothing else changing. We're just picking up the more recent quarters in the fourth. There will be obviously more people drawing down on the trust funds. Therefore, at some point, there will be a change just because we've changed the quarters. Or you're not seeing that?
I mean, I don't mean to jump in and answer your question, but I think the testimony we've been having is that this is a relatively small change compared to the fluctuations in unemployment rate, which mm-hmm. is really what tends to drive moving from one schedule to another, and clearly what's going on right now, moving into other schedules, is driven by the massive numbers of people drawing.
Yeah, I was just trying to get to what Senator Mona Sanderson was talking about, was when all is said and done, the 90 millions and all those days of unemployment are gone, we are now looking at more recent quarters, and will that affect generally what an employer pays for unemployment?
It will, Madam Chair, Senator Telfer, it will affect it if we're close to making a change in the tax schedule, because you have $16 million going out that wouldn't ordinarily be going out over the course of the year or the 2 years. So it will can contribute to a change because of that, because you are issuing more benefits.
Thank you.
Okay. Just follow up on that?
Yes,
too.
Go ahead.
And maybe this is an impossible situation, but what if people just don't go back to work after the nine years? I mean, is there a situation where we could then all of a sudden be dropping back into a deep, deep recession? We just asked the federal government to give us another stimulus.
Madam Chair, Senator Mona Sanderson, well, you know, folks are eligible for so many weeks of benefits, and after they've exhausted those, that's the obligation of the trust fund
that's right.
ends.
I forgot about that.
So that doesn't mean their problem goes away, but that means they're not drawing from the trust fund.
Right. Yeah.
So it doesn't go on forever. Under the current criteria, we have 79 weeks of benefits available to folks, which is a lot of extended benefits from the federal level, plus the original base benefits of 26 weeks, which is what the trust fund's basically paying for, is the first 26 weeks.
Thank you. Yes, Senator Pruszynski.
So I know we may get this explanation on the increase in the administrative costs, but since we're talking margins, Laurie, would it make any difference, or do you want or need the flexibility when we get to these close periods of on the margin, getting right where we could go to another tax schedule, to have some flexibility to try to smooth out what would actually be paid in, so maybe there's not this aggregate, this jump? Because it seems to me that if we're just below going to the next tax schedule and we run a whole year at the lower end, we're going to need to make an adjustment to catch up for that portion. Am I understanding that correct?
Madam Chair, Senator Pruszynski, you're correct, because we're in tax schedule 3 right now, and so employers are paying in less than we're paying out. That's because tax schedule 4 is where it's equilibrium. So we expect now, because we're drawing out more and employers are paying in less, that you're going to shift from tax schedule 3 to either 5 or 6 next January for employers. So you're going to have that bump up, not just of one tax schedule, but potentially a couple, depending on where we're sitting with the economy.
But it
lags a little bit in that, you know, it's not immediate. Like right now, when we've had such a drop, we're still in tax schedules 3, so employers are paying, you know, on the low side, and then they're going to have to catch up. But I think the intent of the designers of this system, these 8 schedules, was that it lags a little bit, the drop in the economy, to try to soften some of that initially, and then you catch up, and you're capped at tax schedule 8. And if you noticed on that chart, we spent 4 or 5 years in that tax schedule because we actually had quite a large hole that we had to fill back up, but we didn't ratchet up to, say, a tax schedule 10. Mm-hmm. We capped it at 8, and so it kind of mitigates that at the top end too by holding down, and just you're in that tax schedule more years, but it's not as high a jump as it might otherwise have been.
Okay. Now, my thought was just whether or not there's a need, when we know where we're at today, where we anticipate we're going to be for the next year or two, would it make more sense to give the department a little more latitude when we're right on the bubble of that margin to go ahead and maybe bump it up so you wouldn't maybe get stuck mm-hmm. into one? But mm-hmm. that's probably, looking at the chair's reactions, an area we don't need to go to today.
I think, Madam Chair, Senator Prince, I think you would have to open the statutes and redesign how the system worked. And I wasn't here in 1975 or so when they did this, but I'm sure there were long hearings about what that ought to look like and how it should. And we did modify it 2 biennia's ago to soften some of those between the lower tax schedules.
So it's kind of like a constitutional convention. You probably don't want to go there unless have the time.
And I'd say that would be a little more drastic than trying to adjust this formula. But I think, you know, when I've gone to NCSL meetings, it's very clear when you look at people from other states that this system is seen as a very good model that a lot of people from other states would love to see in effect. So because of its self-adjusting mechanism, it's worked pretty well. So I think we're waiting for Mr. Byerly to explain this document that was just put in front of us. So please go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, I'm Tom Byerly, Administrator for the Unemployment Insurance Division of the Employment Department. There's a one-page picture there which demonstrates the increase in administrative costs that would be incurred if we had an alternate base year employed. The gray bars are the average time we take for a regular claim. In other words, it goes on the regular base year. You can see the minutes are on the left-hand axis. So then the dark bar is the additional time that would be required to pursue wages that we didn't have in the system. And you recall from our testimony last week that because we're advancing a quarter in the base year, and that the employer reports aren't due until 30 days after the close of the quarter, if we are going after the wages in the fourth quarter of 2008 right now, we are just now collecting those wage reports from employers. Some are in the system, some are not. So if they're in the system, we would still stay on the average in the gray bar. If they're not, we would need more time to interview the applicant, obtain the data we need, like a pay stub or some sort of just information about what they earned in that last quarter that we could bounce off the employer. Then we'd have other staff. We have office specialist twos there that would, in the second group, that would process, and we do everything electronically in imaging, so we would put it in our electronic filing system. We would correspond with the employer, and when that would come back, it would be imaged into our system and sent out to our UI centers to work. We have some compliance specialist two time in the third bar, which is another 15 minutes. I was going to say, in the first group, there's 15 additional minutes. The second group is about 5. The third group is about 5, and the last group is about 10. So it's about 45 minutes total, we're saying, per claim. These claims we'd work to find the additional wages. And then we'd have an accounting tech or an office specialist one in the last group that would record the information, put it into the system, and that would allow us to redetermine, is the term we use, add wages to their claim to make it valid. The last group is information specialist five. That's the IT people that would work on our system to program it and get us ready to go. So just wanted to show that difference as we break down, because we do keep track of all the minutes by workload item we do in unemployment insurance, and that's how the federal government reimburses us, so we know this for a fact, and we've done a lot of thinking and research and consideration on the extra minutes we'd have to take.
So, Madam Chair, you basically multiply these minutes times the number of claims you're going to do, and then you arrive at how many FTE that you need for the various positions. That's how it's calculated.
Thank you for that explanation. And my understanding is that in acknowledgement of the fact that states that do not currently have this provision will need to make changes in their processing, there are administrative funds. Part of this money is administrative funds specifically to enable states to implement changes such as this one. Is that correct?
That's correct, Madam Chair. Part of this package is of the $90 million, $5 million is administrative dollars. It is actually a separate part of the economic stimulus plan. And it's in response to states basically saying, and we say it over and over and over, they're not funding us adequately to run the program as it's designed.
Yes, Senator Mona Sanders.
I'm looking at the legislative fiscal analysis, and how many FTE do you suppose the department will be hiring, or will you not be hiring additional FTE to take care of the increased caseload? Oh, I see. I think you said 20 additional positions. On the back side.
Madam Chair, Senator Mona Sanderson, the fiscal impact is 20 positions and 16.65 FTE spread across these various functions.
Okay.
The bulk of them are, of course, where the 15-minute chunks are, the additional 15 minutes, those are the bulk of the positions that are being added to help process the claims.
Just follow up?
Yes.
So will you be adding full-time FTE or just part-time staff for this?
Madam Chair, Senator Mona Sanderson, these functions, you know, we have three call centers, Bend, Eugene, and Portland. So part of these positions will be spread across those different call centers and central office, and so there'll be some partial FTE. You'll notice there's more positions than there are full-time FTE, because some of these could be half-time positions or partial positions.
Thank you, and I should clarify, too, that when this bill does move out of this committee, which it eventually will, I hope on Wednesday, this bill will be looked at by the Ways and Means folks, so they obviously will be scrutinizing with their usual green eye shades everything that is on this fiscal. Senator Telfer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. These
positions are based on additional time for claims, as well as having the more current time. So as the claims go down and we get back to a normal life someday, hopefully, will these positions still be maintained? And a point of clarification, you said 16.65. The document we have says 12.65. So
she was looking at the one with the July 1 amendment. That's
sorry.
The difference. It's 12, is it?
It's 12.65. Okay. I'm sorry. I was looking at the full biennium of
So my question really is, are these temporary till we get through?
Madam Chair, Senator Telfer, a good question. In the department's budget, because workload goes up and down, we have positions, might call them caseload calculations based on workload, and so those go up and down, and when we're in Ways and Means this time, we'll be talking about a package that adds FTE for the 09-11 biennium because of workload and their seasonality, so their seasonal positions, various limited duration positions, etc. As we manage workload and it goes up and down, we earn less dollars or more dollars under the federal formulas, and so we adjust FTE. So we have some temporary positions, we have limited duration positions, and we have permanent positions, and we base those on workload and how it fluctuates over a biennium.
Madam Chair, if I could just add, Senator Telfer, we have to pay very close attention to our revenue forecast based on our workload, and as Lori said, we have intermittent staff, and we unschedule those as our revenue projections go down. We don't have a flat biennial budget in unemployment insurance like other areas would or might possibly have. So we have to, if our workload goes down, our number of positions go down. And we have to watch it real carefully because we don't have the funding. We may have the limitation in our legislatively approved budget, but we don't have the revenue to support the limitation, so we reduce staff.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, once again, you have given us a font of information, and we hopefully will remember it for the next 48 hours when we take the step again. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tom and Lori. Members, we are in a work session at this point. I will entertain a motion. And Senator Telfer.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt dash one amendment, which is dated February 23rd today.
And Senator Telfer moves that we adopt the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 462. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Seeing none, so ordered. And Pam, Senator George is excused today, as I think I told you earlier. So we will carry over Senate Bill 462 in work session to our next hearing, which is on Wednesday the 25th. And I will close the work session on Senate Bill 462. And I'll open a work session for the purpose of bill introduction. And members, you should have in front of you LC 2985. This is, as have we introduced several others, this is a bill for committee bill introduction. Support of a motion to introduce this does not imply support for or opposition to this bill or any opinion thereabout. It just allows us to have the bill move forward in the process as the deadline for bill introduction is looming next Monday. So,
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Przanski.
I move that we adopt LC 2985 as a committee bill.
Senator Przanski moves that LC 2985 be introduced as a committee bill. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Seeing none, so ordered. And members, we will be having a very full agenda on Wednesday. We will take up the bill that we were just discussing, Senate Bill 462. Hopefully that will not take too long, and then we do have a hearing on another bill, which will have, I'm sure, a lot of testimony and discussion on. So hopefully everybody can be on time on Wednesday. Thank you very much for the great, thoughtful discussion today. With nothing further to come before us, committee is adjourned.